Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. Say what?
Welcome along to History Box. It is part two of the John Darwin canoe fiasco. We didn't get all that far into it, sadly, last time round, but we'll continue on. We're working our way through the Wikipedia page. If you don't know anything about this, it's John Darwin, the man who faked his death in a canoe accident and then reappeared 5 years later. It was to collect life insurance of £250,000 and also allowed him and his wife Anne to pay off their £130,000 mortgage. In 2007, December, it was revealed the couple had been photographed together in Panama a year earlier. Now, of course, they'd been living in Panama when this had all gone. They'd been living in Hartlepool. And they turned up in Panama. And it said Anne confessed to knowing Darwin was alive and that he had been secretly living in their house and the house next door, which allowed him to get that insurance money illegally for his own personal gain. And 7 months later, July 2008, John and Anne Darwin were each sentenced to more than 6 years in prison. That seems a bit vague. I sentence you to more than 6 years in prison.
But can I just say something here about... Because a lot of people judged him. Mainly they judged him about...
The judge judged him, yeah.
Yeah, mainly the people judged him about, like, the tabloids and that. They thought, how can we condemn him, right? Mm. We've got to stand in judgment, scum. That's what they love to treat people with
contempt.
That's
what they do, isn't it? Yeah.
And so their angle was, well, they told their children he was dead, and that was very distressing for them. But if we look at the insurance industry here, right... The crime is this. This man has paid into an insurance policy, right? Mm-hmm. Every month for God knows how many years, right? He wants the money back.
Now,
and what they're saying is, you can only have this money if you die.
Yeah.
And he's like...
That's a life insurance policy, yeah.
I know it is, yeah, but what I'm saying is...
What's your angle here?
I'm trying to say that this is just one of the many things in society that we are just used to and don't question. But if we examine it up close, what we're saying is he's paid the money in, he wants it back.
Yeah.
And they're saying, if you try and get this back, but you don't die first, right?
Yeah.
Then we are going to send you to fucking jail.
Yeah. It's not his money, though. He has to die for it to come back.
I know, but nothing should be dependent on a human's death.
Well, life insurance is, that's how it works.
I know, but it should, like, I just think he shouldn't have gone to prison for just wanting a bit of money and pretending to be dead.
I see where you're coming from, because the life that he was living, apart from the Panama bit, when he was living cooped up in this house in Hartlepool, pretending to be all dead, was practically... Worse than death.
If he defended himself in court, which he should have done, he should have said that to the judge. He should have said, listen, I tell you, I know you're all saying that I should have been dead. You all want me to have been dead.
Yeah.
I'm not quite phrasing it properly, but what I'm saying is people were condemning him for not being dead. And I think
being alive.
I think that's awful.
There's something there. Yeah, I kind of,
do you know what I mean? It's like,
what you're saying.
Why
yeah.
aren't you the John Darwin? You stand accused of not being dead. How
being
do you
alive.
Plead? How do you plead?
Yeah,
I plead guilty and happily so, because life yeah. is there to be celebrated and enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
You're like disgusting, corrupt, yeah. evil man walking around. Breathing the precious oxygen into your bloodstream, your heart beating, your mind alive.
You're registered dead and you should be dead. Sentence him to death.
Tell yourself
they
that.
They could
we'll
have
let you up. You don't have to go to prison if you agree to kill yourself. Fucking hell.
Right now. Yeah.
You know, death should not be rewarded, Andy.
Mm. No, you lost me there. Death should not be rewarded.
Should not. You should not reward death. You should not incentivize death.
Yeah, it's a test, though, isn't it? It's who's prepared to die for the life insurance.
I tell you
insurance.
What. I've got life insurance. Have you got life insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? I tell you what insurance policy I'd like is if it goes, you can have this money, right, and get it right as well. If you or I get hit by a bus tomorrow. Don't think that fucking life insurance policy that we've been paying into all this time is going to go, yeah, no problem, to your wife and kids, or to your kids, because I don't think your ex-wife will be covered by it. I'm not sure, but let's not go into that.
Right? I don't think she would be. No.
Right, but whoever it is that you've got it for, right, they're not going to go, yeah, no problem. What's that? Oh, he's been hit by a bus? Okay. Can you just get the police to write a letter confirming that? Right, okay, the money's in your bank tomorrow. You will be jumping through hoops for fucking ever trying to get that money out of the cunts. Do you know
Can
what
we
mean?
Prove it was an accident? Can we prove he didn't step in front of the
All
bus deliberately?
All of that shit. They'll send the old loss adjuster around to examine your corpse. It'll be awful, right? What I would like is a policy that says you can have this money if you either die... Or if you choose to live a bizarre life that is as close to being dead as humanly possible while still alive, right? And then you go, yeah, all right. And then the small print outlines what that life might look like. And so one day you just think, actually, fuck this. I can't be bothered working and all that anymore. I think I'll just cash in, get my life insurance. I just have to live in a tiny box that's hidden inside a wardrobe.
I will opt for the bizarre life instead.
Yeah, and I'll just like spend the next however many years I've got alive pissing into a carrier bag in a cupboard.
Yeah.
Fine. A price worth paying.
That was it. He'd timbrel himself. He'd go to court and defend himself. And he'd show the jury and the judge a drawing of his quarters where he'd had to live. With a little fucking corner where he pissed into the carrier bag. And it was 8 foot by 6 foot. The bed was just a sleeping bag or a mattress lying on the floor in the corner. This is the bizarre life that I chose. Surely you cannot convict me.
Did my insurance policy not have a bizarre life clause?
Bizarre clause.
In this case, no. I believe Norwich Union do offer those clauses, but you were not covered by them. You were covered by Scottish widows.
The question you must ask yourself, members of the jury, is not, was this a bizarre life, but... Was it bizarre enough? We see, don't we, in the drawing that Mr. Darwin had an iPad. Would you regard that with access to all of the joys of the internet and the iPlayer? Would you regard that as a bizarre life? I say not.
Think of all the classic BBC sitcoms available on the iPlayer.
Yes, his quarters were small, 8 foot by 6 foot, but he had time on his hands, time to binge on box sets. Would you regard that as a bizarre life, or would you regard that as a luxurious life, a
time
life without
to watch
work or
the
toil?
The War with Danny Dyer, Country File, The One Show.
And all 26 series of Last of the Summer Wine. Yeah, I don't know.
I
don't know.
I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead to conclusions, but I instinctively respect John Darwin for doing this.
There's some of that, isn't there? You can't completely condemn him.
The older I get, the more I genuinely and sincerely think the whole system that we are forced to live within is corrupt and rigged and just is inhumane. It doesn't make any sense. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And actually, you know, the longer it goes on, the post COVID has sort of highlighted this because, you know, the wheels of industry continued to turn. Money was earned, taxes were paid, things were spent, right, without everyone going on, you know, engaging in this slavish grind, you know. Yeah. And what you, now I hear people with proper jobs, I say to them, have you got to go back into jobs? And they go, well, we've got to go in 2 days a week, right? And I think, so that is an acknowledgement from your employers that it is perfectly possible for 3 days a week to do the job to a sufficient standard from home.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why do they need 2 days? Because it's about control.
Of course it is, yeah.
It is coercive control. It is bizarre.
We had a glimpse of the bizarre life, which is the work, or what would be regarded as the bizarre life, which is working from home.
Yeah.
That would have been regarded as bizarre 2 years ago.
But
now,
bizarre life is the good life.
It's the good life. John Darwin had the good bizarre life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In his little, I mean, to be fair, his was particularly bizarre because of the tiny box that he lived in and the pissing in a carrier bag. But the principle of what he was attempting was totally legitimate. And it's and you know, everyone should be living like John Darwin, and I hope that one day we will be.
Exactly. There's that thing where you just can't condemn him. The story's that fantastical that you can't condemn him for
what he did.
Yeah, the
balls on him. Most people just sit around moaning, don't they? But he's like, do you know what? Fuck this. I'm faking my own death in a canoe accident. Fuck it.
And then
what have I got to
I'm
lose?
Fucking off to Panama for a bit, and then I'm going to come back and live in the fucking house next door.
Very much like the Buster Edwards situation, of course. If you watch Buster starring Phil Collins, he went on the run. And then in the end, he couldn't. He just was too much in love with Julie Walters, his wife. And he could have probably evaded capture for many years, but he decided to go back. And Bruce Reynolds, my mate, he no longer with us, unfortunately. But he basically was in a similar situation. He'd been on the run for years, and he could have probably remained free and living in the sunshine in South America or wherever. But he wanted to come back. It's something drew him home.
It was like Ronnie Biggs when Ronnie Biggs was on the run all them years, living in Brazil with no extradition treaty, and he was almost a tabloid hero, wasn't he? He wasn't regarded as a villain, or was he? I can't really remember.
Well, the Sun used to feature him quite a lot.
They used to glorify
with his thumbs
him, didn't
up
they?
And all that.
Yeah,
Big C.
If it was a slow week, they'd send a fucking photographer over to Rio de Janeiro and get a photograph of Ronnie Biggs sitting outside in a bar. Like you see with his thumbs up.
But Ronnie Biggs was one of the great train robbers as well, but he actually didn't... He actually, I think, did get caught, but then he escaped, didn't he? I think he escaped from prison and then went... Yeah. Then legged it. Whereas
Bruce Reynolds...
Bruce Reynolds managed to basically stay on the run for quite a long time.
It's hard to judge and condemn anybody that escapes from prison, for example.
It really is, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Escaping from prison is just the best, isn't it? It's the best thing a person can do.
I think if you manage to escape from prison, you should then be let off.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it's like the Crystal Maze or something.
Yeah, it's like,
you've
fair
beaten
enough.
The game.
You're free. Here's your prize.
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
Your prize is freedom.
You did what? You dug a hole over 7 years with a teaspoon, and then you nicked off out in the middle of the night. Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough, mate.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Tell
and
you what, on top of that,
a beach.
On top of that, you can have your next crime for free. One crime will turn a blind eye.
But it can only be up to and including the severity of the original crime you were jailed for.
Yeah, you can't escalate.
You can't get imprisoned for like an insurance scam, then tunnel out and kill someone. That's not the way it works.
No. Good. Yeah, that's... That's something that will happen when we eventually run the country.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So yeah, John and Anne Darwin were sentenced to more than 6 years in prison. And then we get to the background section. John Darwin was born in 1950 in Hartlepool. He attended St Francis R.C. Grammar School and De La Salle College in Salford.
De La Salle opened their own college in Salford.
They did, yeah, back in the 60s. Mm. And he studied biology and chemistry. And in 1973, he married Anne Stevenson in Blackhall, which is near Hartlepool. So he's grown up in Hartlepool, then gone to college in Salford for some reason, and then gravitated back to Blackhall. He then taught science and mathematics at in Derwentside before leaving to join Barclays.
Seems like right, he was then quite clever, because he went to grammar school, then De La Salle College,
yeah,
which, yeah, I don't know exactly what went on there, but if he went all the way to Lancashire to study, I reckon it was a bit special. And then he taught science and then got a job at Barclays. I mean, he was no mug.
Yeah, but then he left Barclays and became a prison officer.
Now, that's the bit I don't understand.
Well, why did he leave Barclays? Why did he leave the teaching profession and why did he leave Barclays? We don't know. We don't know. It seems to be a weird career path. And especially, like you say, ended up as a prison officer. But maybe he was drawn to the mind of the criminal, the deviant. Maybe he wanted to study them at close quarters. Maybe this was brewing for decades before he did it.
Yeah.
You know, the big job, the insurance job. He studied maths, which is numbers, right?
Yeah.
He's taught maths. He's worked at Barclays, which is money.
Yeah.
He's been a prison officer, which is recidivists.
Mm.
And all of those have combined for his grand scheme.
Yeah, it was all building up to one thing.
Maybe it was all research, yeah. And him and his wife, who was a doctor's receptionist. So again there, you've got a link to the medical profession and Harold Shipman and crime.
Yeah.
Very tenuous, but it's there. They also ran a business renting bedsits in County Durham with 12 houses. So he's got a bit of a property empire.
I mean, that's making 250 grand seem even smaller, because if he's got that much property, I mean, why you would be looking for a fast payout on 250 grand life insurance policy? Don't know. Weigh it up, mate. With all that property on the go, I don't know. You never know what's going on behind closed doors. A lot of people are gamblers. You know, I don't know whether that was a situation.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know when enough's enough, do they? They get dizzy on success.
When the fun stops, they don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't they know the rules?
Like us, continually adding new tiers to the IFS and continually putting out more and more episodes until eventually
there'll be like 12 bits of content every day.
Yeah, 5 hours a day. For £13.99.
24/7, 365 days a year. We just go live.
With Bluetooth mics strapped to our heads and just fucking podcasting everything. Well, it says here they ran into debt after purchasing two houses in December 2000 in Seaton Carew, which is a seaside resort quite near Hartlepool. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Seaton Carew.
Yeah.
I've never been. And it says the debts caused Darwin to talk about faking his own death to claim the insurance by early 2002.
You know what I'm thinking here? I'm sitting here doing the sums and I'm increasingly thinking that I might have to fake my own death. What do you reckon?
I've got the job as the prison officer. She's working in the doctor's receptionist, only 3 days a week, but it brings a bit of money in. We've got all the bed sits. We've got the 2 houses in Seton Carew, but it's a bit much. Maybe I should fake me death.
I'm thinking, might be simpler if I just get a canoe and fake me own death in it.
I could sell some of the houses, maybe. Make a bit of a loss.
So much admin.
But it'll stabilise the empire, as I like to call it. Or I could go out to sea in the canoe and pretend I'm dead for 250 grand. I don't know. I need to know more about this. Is there a book? Has he written a book?
Or a documentary? We're doing. This is a documentary.
I haven't got enough source material.
All right.
I'm looking to see if there's... No one's even written a book about this yet, by the looks
fucking
of it.
Madness.
Oh, there we are. Someone's written a book called... Tammy Cohen has written a book called Up the Creek Without a Paddle.
Oh.
And it's only available on Kindle.
It's not a great title, because he was neither in a creek and he did have a paddle. So, I mean...
Oh! And Darwin has written a book.
Oh.
His wife, called Out of My Depth. Of course it's called Out of My Depth. How many stars has that got on Amazon? 4.5. That might be good then.
What sort of respect do you think they would have got in the prison hierarchy? Because, you know, usually, what sort of people the people who are the Harry Grouts, they're usually like sort of organised crime bosses, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then at the bottom you got nonces, yeah?
Yeah.
I wonder where death fakers come.
Well, the thing is, he used to be a prison officer, so he would have got it bad.
Oh, yeah. Nightmare.
Like when you watched that Jimmy McGovern series, Time, with Sean Bean and Stephen Graham. And it ended with Stephen Graham. Well, I don't know if you haven't seen it yet, no spoilers, but there might well be a second series with a completely different focus to the first series.
Yeah,
That's what I'm hoping anyway. Yeah. Seems obvious, but... ex-prison officer, so I don't know. He would have done
hard time.
There's some good reviews of Anne's book on Amazon. That might be worth a read.
Yeah, I'm going to read that.
Not at the moment. We're busy going through the Wikipedia page.
I'll tell you another book that's out that I've got high hopes for a possible future deep dive.
Yeah.
Glenn Hoddle's.
Is that a new one? Has that just come out now?
It's just come out. He's been doing a lot of publicity around it.
Has he?
Yeah. And I'm really like, I find Glenn Hoddle a fascinating character. Plus, of course, there's huge overlap with Keegan and other amusing characters.
And can you do the voice?
Glenn Hoddle's sort of like that, isn't he?
It's a little bit like, anyhow, isn't it?
Yeah. I said that people could, disabled people... maybe paying for crimes they've done in another life. That's what I said. It was just, I wasn't saying that as a fact. I was just speculating.
I just put it out there as a proposition.
I was just, chewing the fact. Spitballing, as our American friends put it.
There is no scientific evidence either way. I just put it out there as a theory, and I thought I'd let the general public decide.
The question is, who is the burden of proof? Who does the burden of proof sit with? I would say the disabled community. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. They need to prove that they haven't sinned in a prior life. And if they provide me with that evidence, I'm perfectly happy to drop the matter.
To retract my claims.
Now, let's get back to talking about my back three system.
Let's get back to talking about the upcoming World Cup in France. Fucking hell,
Glenn. Are you sure you want to say all that on the record? I've said what I've said. What happens, happens. Let's crack on.
It's God's will.
But I do actually, despite all those things he said, and, you know, if we do deep dive the book, I'm sure we'll get his side of the story, and I'm sure that I've heard him claim that it was very much twisted and misrepresented and all the rest of it. In spite of all of that, I have an affection for Glenn Hoddle. It may be because he was such a sublime footballer that you almost have to like.
Banked, wasn't it?
You kind of have to like him. Do you know what I mean? And I always like him. So he just seems like a sort of a nice kind of a bloke. I don't know, an amusing character.
Oh yeah, it'd be interesting to be around.
Yeah.
Like whenever he's commentating on some match or other, people always take to Twitter and do Glenn Hoddle lines about what Glenn Hoddle does.
Oh yeah.
You know, Glenn Hoddle fucking, I don't know, refuses to park in a disabled bay even if it's the last one in the car park or whatever. Glenn Hoddle fucking this, Glenn Hoddle that, and it's really dull.
Oh, yeah.
It's much more dull than actually Glenn Hoddle himself would be.
Right.
If you were spending time with Glenn Hoddle.
Right. What, I can't so think they're of any good what are they trying to make the joke that he's dull?
Yeah. Yeah, or that he's really straight.
Glenn Hoddle, that's just young people today. You know, they're just saying it because he's old. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ageism, isn't it?
And
yeah,
it's awful because a few years back, Glenn Hoddle, when we were kids, would have been considered the last word in exotic footballer. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Everyone thought he was like really...
We beat Glenn Hoddle, didn't we?
Well, he was 30 years ahead of his time. I've heard that said before. People used to say about Martin Peters and all this shit, and I thought, what the fuck is that supposed to mean, 10 years ahead of your time? But in Glenn Hoddle's case, I totally understand what it means, because he was playing football in the 80s and even the late 70s that belonged in the Premier League era with perfect pitches and continental players and tactical intelligence. He was doing all of that shit, but on muddy pitches surrounded by fucking donkeys and long ball merchants.
Yeah. And then he was an innovator as a manager as
he
well.
He was, yeah.
He reinvented himself as a sweeper.
Yeah,
as a player.
At Swindon.
He managed at Swindon, pioneered them, you know, went on to manage other clubs.
Chelsea.
And England.
He did really well at Southampton. He was okay at Tottenham. It was a shame what happened at Tottenham. As much as I don't like them, it was a shame because he's such a god to Tottenham. It sort of shows the risks of going back to manage the club where you're like the number one player, because it can only sour things. But England under Glenn Hoddle were brilliant, and there are several players who'll say he was like, I mean, Ian Wright is like, yeah, he's the best manager ever.
Yeah,
you know, he loved him, absolutely loved him, and England were brilliant under Glenn Hoddle. If all that nonsense hadn't had him kicked out, then we might have gone on to achieve great things. Probably not.
Who knows?
To be fair.
Yeah. Well, we might delve into the Hoddle autobiography then at some point.
Anyway, back to the Darwins.
The Darwins, where are we?
Disappearance.
So he talked about faking his death. Yeah, disappearance. This is the important bit.
Mm.
Darwin was seen paddling out to sea in his kayak. I'll tell you what, we'll leave it there.
That's exciting.
I'll tell you what, we'll leave it there, because we haven't got time to properly delve into this paragraph. And also, we're playing catch-up with episodes that we didn't do while we were on tour, so we're not going to do fucking long episodes.
Yeah.
We're going to go short rather than long. We've talked far too much about Glenn Hoddle and the bizarre life and other stuff. So we'll continue this next week with part 3 of the John Darwin experience on History Box. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.